Will you guys pray with me? Lord, you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You are good to all, and your mercy is over all that you've made. All your works give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Hi, everyone. My name is Kelsey. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from codependency, comparison, and a lack of trust in the Lord. Hey, guys. I was gifted the best birthday present I'll ever receive. The day I was born, when I came into the world 1 minute behind my identical twin sister, Kendall. I grew up alongside a 24/7 roommate, playmate, study buddy, and best friend. And though I often say everyone deserves a twin, I have to admit it came with its challenges. For one, no one knew my name. Hearing "Hey You" or "K-Twin" or "Kendall" felt more common than being addressed by my name. We were recognized and befriended collectively. Early on, I perceived that we were more unique together, and I secretly enjoyed the attention, even if it was shared. My identity felt inextricably tied to my sister, and I grew up dependent on her for recognition and reputation. Secondly, I came to believe our lives should be equal. Kendall and I were born to the same set of amazing parents, with the same set of genes, upbringing, and education. Thus, in my mind, our lives should be equal in terms of opportunities and setbacks, accomplishments and failures, rewards and punishments. It worked both ways. If she could make an A on a biology final or land a homecoming date, so should I. But at the same time, if one of us didn't make the A team or get invited to a party or pass their driving test the first time around, the other shouldn't either. I would beat myself up when I fell short of her accomplishments and forego opportunities out of guilt and shame if they weren't granted to Kendall too. And so began my battles with codependency and comparison. I depended on my sister for a sense of worth, comfort, and security. And as we got older, that dependence and comparison quickly grew to include other friends as well. I prided myself on being a good listener, often craving a role as confidant within my circle of friends to fuel my need to be needed. Success and failure were defined by others. The constant comparison and dependence on others to affirm me left me feeling discontent, jealous, and lesser than. I did everything I could to go out of state for college, thinking that life apart from my sister would alleviate some of the pressures of comparison and force me to form my own identity. For the first time in my life, people knew my name, and I threw my time and energy into making sure they remembered it. I devoted my time to maintaining a perfect GPA and gaining leadership roles on campus and in my sorority. By the end of my sophomore year, I had accomplished everything I had set out to do in my first 2 years of school. I had amazing friends, great grades, extracurricular involvement, a boyfriend, and name recognition, all without the help of my sister. And yet, I was at a place of the deepest discontentment that I'd ever felt. It was during this lowest season that the Lord called me to himself. I had a religion as a child, but not a faith. I grew up in a Catholic home and was exposed to scripture, but I viewed God as a demanding yet loving parent who couldn't possibly carry out judgment. So I spent my life acting like a spoiled child who did whatever she wanted, believing her father would eventually cave and grant eternal life. When I confided in close friends about my funk, they connected me with Katie Avance, the women's college coordinator here at Watermark at the time. I spent a summer meeting with her, asking questions about my purpose on earth and the Christian faith. She pushed me to truth found in scripture. The verse that changed my heart was Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works so that no man can boast. For you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. My salvation and right standing from God wasn't another thing I needed to earn. It was a gift purchased for me when Christ died for my sins on the cross. I wasn't here to squeeze every opportunity out of life and make a name for myself. I was here to glorify God's name and to love others. Those truths were a paradigm shift that left me feeling relieved. I wasn't the maker of my destiny or the author of my salvation. A sovereign God had an ultimate plan, and he was inviting me to be a part of it. I excitedly surrendered my will and way to Christ. I spent the next 4 years growing in knowledge of and intimacy with the Lord. I began spending daily time in the Word, serving regularly, and engaging in community with a group of women who were pursuing intimacy with God. I was experiencing some fruit of the Holy Spirit at work through me. And yet, as the flood of affirmation and recognition that I received from senior year leadership positions and graduation honors subsided, the Lord opened my eyes to my struggle with perfectionism and indecision. I wanted my job choices, dating choices, and life decisions to be perfect, and I was terrified of making a wrong move. So I avoided decisions at all costs. I quit my first job after a month because the 80-hour work weeks were overwhelming, which left me feeling incredibly embarrassed and ashamed. I maintained an on and off again dating relationship because I was too scared to commit to marriage, but too afraid to let go of the affirmation, security, and comfort he provided. I tried to hide our volatile relationship from friends for fear of rebuke. The lack of honesty bled into other areas of my life as I began to stuff down imperfections and sin struggles and wear the mask of perfectionism. I wanted to have it all together, but I didn't. By the summer of 2015, I felt like a whirlwind of chaos was following me. I wasn't a woman of my word. My yes did not mean yes, and my no did not mean no, which was causing pain and frustration to myself and those around me. I looked at the lives of my sister, who is now living with me in Dallas, and my community of friends, and envied their high-powered careers, boyfriends, and spiritual gifts. That envy quickly turned to bitterness. I expected friends to fix my discontentment. If I was single, I expected them to introduce me to men. If I wasn't loving my job, I expected them to help me come up with my next move. If I had a free Friday night, I expected them to fill it. I had become a burden to others as I looked to them for satisfaction. And when I felt they were failing me, I was devastated. I had heard about regeneration during the announcements at church, but had never considered it for myself. I compared my sin to the perceived sin of others and felt like surely my sin wasn't grave enough to qualify me for recovery. Plus, I usually worked late. There was no way I could commit to every Monday night for a year. But on the heels of yet another on and off again season of dating, I finally conceded to the notion that I needed recovery and decided to come check it out. I remember sitting through orientation and thinking, I have no idea how to verbalize why I'm here. In some ways, I wished I had something tangible I can point to as my issue, like an addiction. I hurt people and didn't know why. I felt hurt by people but couldn't pinpoint specifics. Someone on stage that night referenced Titus 3:3-7, which says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." That was me. Foolish, disobedient, a slave to my passions and pleasures, filled with malice and envy, hated by others and hating others. I so desperately craved the washing of regeneration that God promised in this verse. So I was in. The steps themselves didn't really scare me. I was ready to figure myself out. I thought that if I could sift through my sin, confess it, repent, and find forgiveness, I would stop hurting others and finally feel the peace and joy I'd been looking for. The concept of a mentor, however, did scare me. I felt like mentorship was a burden and I didn't want to inconvenience anyone. I prayed for a change of heart, and eventually a dear friend encouraged me and convinced me to ask Rachel. That step of obedience turned out to be one of the most life-giving components of the regeneration process. Steps 1 through 3 felt like a sweet reminder of what I had learned to be true of my nature and of the Lord over the past 4 years of being a Christian. I felt the same sense of relief as when I'd first believed, when I was reminded of my powerlessness and God's power over sin. Though I had already trusted my life to Christ, I spent step 3 praying for a deeper trust in God's goodness, forgiveness, and restoration. It was right around the beginning of inventory that life got tough. The guy I dated on and off for 6 years started dating a good friend of mine in my community group. Our community group split, and I quickly recognized how much I sought identity and security from that group of girls. To watch close friends celebrate and encourage something that was so painful for me often felt like betrayal. Feelings of abandonment, low self-worth, fear, and resentment boiled up as I continued to lose old sources of identity, comfort, and security. Regeneration all of a sudden became a tool I felt I desperately needed to deal with my circumstances. Inventory became a way to process resentments, fears, harms, and hurts. Thankfully, scripture provided in the inventory workbook and encouragement from my mentor helped remind me that the Lord saves. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In the midst of a whirlwind of emotion, I began to recognize patterns of my broken nature, idols, and sinful responses to a broken world. I recognized my codependence and comparison and began to see how that burdened others and led to discontentment. I realized that while I had trusted the Lord with my salvation, I hadn't trusted him for the abundant life he promised. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes." I had struggled to believe the truth that God intended good for me, which manifested in my indecision. I began praying daily for a deeper trust in his provision. I confessed these things to the Lord and to my mentor and began repenting of these sins and idols. For the first time in my life, I sought forgiveness from the Lord for specific sins, rather than hiding behind a mask of perfectionism and seeking to do good long enough to forget about my bad. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I humbly asked for forgiveness for past and ongoing sins and sought to reconcile relationships where it was wise. The Lord was slowly calming the waters of my turbulent heart as he restored my identity and dependence to him. As I reflect on my life since beginning regeneration, I can't help but smile at the Lord's timing and goodness in drawing me through those doors the first Monday night. I walked in a prideful, codependent mess of a girl who was spending her time envying others and was paralyzed by the thought of making a decision. I just couldn't have told you that at the time. I walked out a year later aware of my tendencies to be prideful, codependent, indecisive, and perfectionistic, but with a humbled heart, repentance plans, and reconciled relationships in tow. That awareness helps me recognize situations or circumstances that might trigger my common sin struggles, and I'm better able to fight those sinful tendencies as I turn to the Holy Spirit within me and the scripture I've now written on my heart. Scripture commands us to flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But he doesn't leave us alone to do it. Christ promised us the Holy Spirit. In John 14:19, Jesus says, "You know him, for he dwells within you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." One essence of the Trinity abides in me. On my own, I am powerless, but the Spirit of the Lord within me is powerful. And I pray that the Lord continues to sanctify me and teach me to die to my flesh so that his Spirit within me might accomplish the good works the Lord has prepared for me to accomplish. My relationships look so different than they did before coming to regeneration. I seek to love and to serve others out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith without the need for reciprocal care. My worth is no longer in the thoughts, actions, or reactions of man, which has unburdened many of my friendships and given me the opportunity to initiate, serve, and care for friends. I'm no longer afraid of conflict and find myself eager to ask for forgiveness when I fall short. I seek to approach others quickly, humbly, and honestly with confession, repentance, and a request for forgiveness. When I fail others, instead of sitting in guilt or shame, I trust in the Lord's promise for forgiveness and walk forward out of sin with a grateful heart and a hope that faithful conflict resolution will have sanctified me for his glory and my good. Codependency and comparison are still daily battles. I can so easily slip into the trap of envying what others have or seeking fulfillment from others. Yet I can recognize when I'm falling into those temptations, and I quickly turn to prayer and scriptures that I've memorized to remind myself that God is good and only he can provide true identity, comfort, peace, joy, and satisfaction. My relationship with my sister is as sweet as ever, though there will always likely be some level of competitiveness between us. I no longer seek to meet or beat her accomplishments. I mourn with her in times of trial and celebrate wholeheartedly in times of joy. And that goes for all my relationships. Though not perfectly, my contentment is not tied to man, which has given me the freedom to enjoy fellowship with others more consistently and driven me to greater intimacy with our Father. I seek time in God's word daily to remind myself that he's good, worthy of my trust, and sovereign not just over my salvation, but over my circumstances too. I have a greater understanding for God's providence, and I view my time and resources as a gift from the Lord for the purpose of making his name great. I ask for deeper trust and greater faith daily. I process decisions big and small through prayer first and community second, asking for accountability and being honest, upfront, and timely in my decisions. I process through the fears, idols, and selfish gains that might be motivating each decision and seek forgiveness from the Lord for the areas in which I'm choosing not to trust him. One of the biggest blessings that has come from a greater trust in the Lord is the freedom to walk forward in life change. With the encouragement and support of my community and mentor, I said yes to a dating relationship with Ryan almost a year and a half ago. I had come to know and trust that the Lord was the source of ultimate joy and satisfaction, which had freed me from seeking those things in a man and enabled me to view our relationship as one in which I was called to serve, honor, and encourage this godly man. As I surrendered my desire to control, plan, and overanalyze our compatibility, I experienced the sweetness of peace in taking each next step in our relationship. I had the joy of saying yes to marrying Ryan in November, and I cannot wait to officially covenant our lives together in July and honor that covenant every day for the rest of my life. And that truly is the work of the Lord in transforming my fearful, controlling, and selfish heart. If you're a newcomer tonight, welcome. God loves you. He can rescue you from the dominion of darkness that has drawn you through those doors, and he can bring you into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Regeneration is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank the Lord for drawing you to this place tonight. I pray the desperate need you feel tonight for a Savior, for regeneration, for new life, remains long enough for you to explore the one true source for those blessings. My name is Kelsey. I have a new life in Christ, and the Lord has transformed my heart, my mind, and my life as I continue to recover from codependency, comparison, and a lack of trust in the Lord.